Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this here episode of BRB UK. I am Dan, but as you probably noticed, I'm not actually here. Now, this is nothing to do with having a forced period of exclusivity on the podcasting version of the Epic Game Store. No, sadly, the reason I can't be with you this evening is much more mundane, and it's namely that I can't get off work. Curse you, corporate overlords. But I'm going to leave you in the very capable hands of my friends Tim, Coleman, and I hear some other waifs and strays from the Big Red Arrow family. Sorry I can't be there to be with you all tonight. Sounds like a very cheesy segment from This Is Your Life or something, but no, genuinely gutted I can't be here with you all this evening. So anyway, I'll let you get back to it, raise a cup of tea, and make sure you enjoy this here episode, streamed live in front of your very faces here at Resd of BRB UK. Take it away, chaps.
If the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Welcome to episode 337 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast live. I am Coleman, and I'll be your host tonight. And I'm joined by my other compadre here, Tim Hibbs.
Hello.
And also, we've brought some guests in with us from other shows as well. So from the Comics Inc. podcast, we've got Rick Lafer.
Hey, everybody.
And from the Geek Speak podcast, we've got DM Ed Scannell.
Hello there.
Usually, this podcast, we've never done a live one. This is interesting for us. We thought we'd throw ourselves in the deep end and do it at EGX Resd, which is not just mine, but these guys' favourite show as well to do. So it's quite a big deal for us. And to break from the norms, usually this is a show where we do kind of gaming news, reviews, that kind of stuff. And we're going to take a different spin on it tonight, Tim.
We're doing things a little bit differently. We had to plan ahead a little bit, which is different for us in itself. But then also, we just decided to kind of discuss some of the best games of the generation. And also, as we do a Tabletop Tuesday gaming event, where, if anyone doesn't know, it's a board game event in a video game themed bar, we thought it'd be a good point of discussion to talk about the best board game video games and the best video game board games. And we'll come on to exactly what the distinction is between those two in a minute as well, basically.
And also, you may have noticed there's lots of tat around and red bags with stuff inside. These are prizes that we intend to give out, so we're going to get some audience participation, and you can win yourself some lovely prizes to take home, including these amazing...
We have...
Super amazing Camel Balls bubble gum.
I don't know why he did this, but we have done this.
And that's terrible, the first bit there. Of tat gone.
I was told I'm not allowed to do that. All right, so,
surely you can woo better than that for the camel balls.
Thank you, one person.
That'll do. You can have one later.
Okay, so a nice topic that I'm sure will go down well and we won't have any cause for argument in whatsoever. We're going to discuss the best games of this gaming generation. Console gaming generation, I believe, is...
Yeah, we've defined it as this console generation, which in the UK, at least, we've defined as the 30th November 2012, which was the launch date of the Wii U. So that's commonly known as the kickoff of the eighth generation of consoles. So we've refined it slightly from the American date that most people take to take the UK date, as we are in the UK. We thought that was fair enough.
So let's get into our first argument, the Wii U.
Wii U. That's apparently the point where things all kicked off this generation, apparently. So, yeah. I mean, it means we get the Switch and the Wii U in one generation, and that's okay.
Or is the Switch not part of the next one?
Well, it also... Right. Also, one of the things I went with is to...
Transcend.
Is to define the fact that we were going to go by platform, basically. So, for the PS4... We kind of said that it would just be games that were exclusive to that platform, and likewise for the other platforms. So we also said no remasters or re-releases, because that very much muddies the water as well. But that does mean that Mario Kart 8 does sneak into the conversation one way or another, as long as we've got the Wii U as part of this generation.
It also means there's only like four games to choose from.
Is that 80% of the current gaming lineup is HD?
Yes,
remasters.
That kind of rules out a lot of things. So should we kick things off with PS4? We're going to say some of the things that we think were the best games of this generation, but we want you to kind of add to that list as well. So if there's anything you think we've missed out, and the best suggestion from anyone that sort of suggests anything from that audience will get a prize. So it's a good thing to do to actually make some suggestions.
Halo isn't on PlayStation, Bleasy.
Yes, just so you're you can't vote for Halo every time, Bleasy. Anyway, right. So PS4, we'll go through... what is not only one of the greatest games of the generation, but for me is one of my favourite games of all time now, and that is God of War.
I was close.
The more recent God of War.
Two.
But I think that's one that most people would say is definitely worthy of being in the conversation of best game of the generation.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a reason it won the BAFTA last night. There's a reason it's won so many Game of the Year awards that I think it's pretty much definitive. And this is in the same year that Red Dead Redemption 2 came out, which was expected to just wipe the board with everything else. The game itself is just fantastic. I mean, I think everybody on this table has played it at this stage.
Yep.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Mario.
Oh, no.
Or the center.
No.
I only...
Sean.
I just haven't played it. It's on my shelf, looking very attractive.
I'm not sure if that's better or worse.
How do you rate the box art?
Does the gleam of the cellophane distract you when you go towards
the graphics?
7.9.
Okay. Excellent.
But also going on for other games that I think are kind of no-brainers as well, I think... we were spoiled a bit this year because also Spider-Man came out this year, and I think Marvel's Spider-Man is another one of those games that definitely
Spider-Man.
Gets in that conversation.
I played that one.
Spider-Man.
I played that one.
Well
that
done.
One you played. That one's comic related, so you actually got off your ass by that one. Now, the next one I think is going to be a bit more controversial. I don't know that everyone in this room or everyone even on this panel is necessarily going to say the same as me. But for me, Until Dawn was one of the ones that I'm throwing into the mix.
But that was a PS Plus game, so most people have at least owned it.
Yeah, possibly. But yeah, for me, that was one. It was one of my games of the show coming out of EGX a couple of years ago, and I was kind of raving about it when everyone was kind of written it off as this move game that had got 6 years in the making and no one really cared about it anymore. And for me, I just loved what it did as something a bit different. I don't know if you guys have seen Man of Medan is coming out, and it's a multi-platform version of that, basically. And I'm really looking forward to that as well now, basically. So yeah.
And you get to see Hayden Pantyhair die.
Ah, yes.
Several times, if you so wish.
She died right at the end for me. I tried to save her all the way through. She died right at the end. Another one I'm not sure about, but I think Uncharted 4 gets into the conversation just as a cinematic game. I love the Uncharted series.
Let me interject. If Uncharted 4 is getting on there, I think above it is going to be Lost Legacy. I think Lost Legacy is a better game. Okay. It's
a lot of people would agree with that.
It's the same game in that it's the same engine, same control, same all of that kind of stuff. But it's a much more refined, condensed, concise game. It doesn't feel like there are times during Uncharted 4, I love the entire experience, but there were times when it felt, okay, let's move on to the next bit, let's move on. Whereas Lost Legacy just felt really, it's just a nice chunk of game.
Better
right
paced,
there.
But would you also say that it was significantly different enough that it felt different to the series of games that had come before and had really nailed it up to 3, basically?
Certainly the open world bits. That helped a lot, and it just made it... It just added something a little bit different, just a little bit not like the others, which obviously helped it stand out. And obviously you had the two female protagonists as well, which is different because suddenly the thing that people thought was anchoring the series, Nathan Drake, was gone. Yet it still managed to be fantastic. So
if I may interject as to why Uncharted 4 is a better game than its Expandalone... Uncharted 4 has a Monkey Island Easter egg, and the other one doesn't.
I can see.
Therefore, it's the greatest game of all time.
I am defeated.
There isn't Monkey Island.
Or God of War.
I think we're going to have to motor through a few of these, so I'm going to throw one in there that might be even more controversial than the last one I said. I don't know. A lot of people, I think, will take to this in the same way that I did. But Detroit Become Human...
No, you don't get it. It's androids, but it's about racism. But it's about androids.
You're repeating your style, you should film.
Thank you.
David Cage is in the audience.
Yeah, Detroit. Controversial, but sold very well. Beautiful looking game. A bit batters you over the head with its meaning, but hey, it was an interesting game.
Also, the first EGX I ever attended, I interviewed David Cage about Heavy Rain.
So, stop.
Right. Also, one I think Rick would be more qualified to speak on, but Bloodborne was definitely one I thought deserved to be in the conversation.
I think Bloodborne's one of the best games ever made.
Bloodborne is the greatest game on the PlayStation 4.
That isn't God of War.
Yeah. Well.
No. I love Bloodborne. It is the thing that got me into the Souls series more than anything. Like Dark Souls sort of introduced me to it. I stayed well away from Demon's Souls because I was afraid of it. But Bloodborne, I lost the bet and had to play it. And luckily for me, I absolutely fell in love with it. There's something about the atmosphere, the action, like it speeds everything up. It's a much more aggressive game. It rewards aggression. And yeah, it's a great introduction to the idea of a Souls game for people who have been kind of put off from them. And the engine that they created for it is really nice. They've refined it now. I do think Sekiro might be better, but this is exclusive, so that's off the table. And Bloodborne's been out for longer. And yeah, so like if you've never played a Souls game, pick up Bloodborne. It's,
I think that was also, wasn't that also a PlayStation Plus at some point?
Yeah, it was PlayStation Plus April last year. I remember that because that's when
so
I got
it. Go back in time and download that if you haven't already.
Yeah, all you need is a time machine and a wish, and you can get it.
If there's one thing just to mention on Bloodborne, just be aware that it doesn't so much have a difficulty curve as a difficulty cliff.
The brick wall.
Just,
which you'll be banging.
If you can overcome that, though, you're going to have a really good time.
That was a random one for me because we were actually working at this event a few years ago and they had Bloodborne just over there randomly. And I popped in just to sort of, I've never played a Souls game, let's have a look at this thing. And then, yeah, we might put down some money and pick that up. And then that was the game that I'd find myself 4 o'clock in the morning still playing, going, oh bloody hell, I better get a bet after I've just played this for another couple of hours. And then I'd have dreams about it, and then I'd wake up and want to play it again. Like, Bloodborne gets in your brain.
That happened to me recently.
It's weird.
I went back and started playing through it again. And
it's that Lovecraftian stuff. It just buries in your brain.
Then that's the thing. Like, it's so fitting as well for the like Eldritch horror stuff that it just drills its way into your brain and doesn't come out. But the fact that I was getting ill as well, so I was getting fever dreams that was set in Bloodborne land.
That does not sound like
immersion.
Yeah. Eat your heart out, Detroit.
And then the other one you've got is Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, I think that... I think most people, again, would agree that deserves to be in the conversation of best games of the generation, possibly. Like, I know
it's definitely up there.
It seems to have been forgotten about a bit quicker than other games of that sort of size and ilk.
I think Breath of the Wild might have had something to do with that.
That might be why.
That is true. But also, this does feel like the Assassin's Creed of the series, in that it's the first game of Assassin's Creed was fantastic in terms of the tools and the way it was designed at the start, but it feels like as soon as the second one's going to come out, people are going to completely forget about the first Horizon. Yeah. Because the second one is going to build on that and actually add in the bits that people will kind of come back for again. And it's going to be such a leap up again that it's going to be really interesting to see.
The one thing I think might be more difficult for them is the fact that I think a lot of people went in with lower expectations the first time and they're going to have raised expectations for the next one. I think that's going to be a difficult challenge for them to overcome. But you look at Guerrilla's track record,
the band.
Well, yes. But they actually, like in the Killzone series, Killzone 2, I think, was the highlight of the series overall.
Agreed.
So I think they have the pedigree to come and absolutely nail it out of the
certainly box. Technologically, like no one ever kind of said the Killzone games were inferior graphically or anything like that. It was always in terms of gameplay that people seemed to have issues or the story. Whereas this one seems to have not only brought the technology with them, but got the gameplay right and brought a really good, interesting story with them as well. So. I'm really looking forward to the second one.
And I think that's it for the list of stuff we had on PS4. Is anything that that we may have forgotten or anything suggestions?
Hands up for your own suggestions.
Yeah.
Dima, do you want to pass that mic?
Pass that mic down.
Well, my first question is, Are you doing a separate section for VR or?
Yes. As anyone that doesn't know, I'm a big fan of VR. I literally could not have written this list and down to a short list if I didn't completely extract VR from the list. So we have a separate VR list coming up. So yes.
In that case, you mentioned Horizon, so I'll wait until the VR.
Okay, fine.
One, you should feel really, really bad about that Detroit. I'm just going to plant that again. The other thing I was going to say, Diarmid brought up a really good point about the first Ubisoft, mm-hmm. sort of Assassin's Creed and Horizon. Because I kind of feel like in the most best way to describe Horizon Zero Dawn is like it's Ubisoft of the Wild, in a sense.
Yeah.
In that, like, it's very much the mechanics sort of nearly come together, but they don't quite coalesce in a way.
Okay, yeah.
But also to throw my hat in the ring for best PlayStation 4 mm-hmm, game, mm-hmm. Yakuza 0.
Ooh.
Okay.
Isn't that on PC now
was
as
that
well,
exclusive?
Though?
Is that on PC?
Can
exclusive.
We go with the technicality? It was originally exclusive
if
for PlayStation.
If it was released as an exclusive, I'll let you go away with it.
We're talking about console exclusives. I'll say yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Because I think it's got a very in-depth, clever story that has loads of twists and turns. Mm-hmm. You've got multiple protagonists. It's a very good sort of snapshot of 80s Japan. And there's quite a lot of comic moments. It knows when to be serious. It knows when to be like Seinfeld. It knows when to let you beat a person half to death with a bicycle. It's got pretty much everything you can need in the game. And plus, you can play as a psychotic, like, semi-murderer who gets up in, like, 80s disco gear and starts singing a song about how he loves a Cinderella person. So if that's not the qualifier for the best game of the generation...
I think they do that in Bloodborne as well.
Yeah, the rhythm action sections is really weird in Bloodborne. For that, we might as well just throw all the Yakuza games in, because especially the ones from this generation, including the Kiwami remakes, like they're all absolutely superb.
Remakes.
I caught myself out. All right, 6 though. I'll give you 6 as well.
I've not played that yet. It's my next in the list.
Right. So the first one that I was thinking, I'm not 100% certain if it will count because it's Persona 5, because that came on the PS3 as well.
Yeah,
but it's a separate generation.
So I kind of ruled that out. So
I'm going to argue with that because I think that Persona 5 should be in the conversation because no one really bought it on the PlayStation 3. Because
it's a victim of its own unsuccessfulness.
Let's put it this way. If we can't have Persona 5, then we can't have Breath of the Wild, because that was on the Wii U as well as the
that
Switch.
That is true. That is true. I did wonder about that as well.
So if we're going to...
But are we not counting the Wii U as part of this generation as well? That
Wii U is part of this generation, which brings
but
both of them in.
Yeah, but it's still on two systems.
Yes, but part of this console generation.
Stop proving
me wrong.
This is
where it gets really messy.
You're making me look silly.
Let's move on and go from there. I would say PS4 is the one that I think that we probably came up with a list of everything else. Was there another one to suggest for PS4, or are you good?
Do you
want
to suggest a game?
I'm not going to say like FIFA or like Ratchet & Clank or any of those games.
We've got like a multi-platform section, so I think we'll save that for that. So what we're doing just at the moment is with the PS4 ones, just concentrating on the ones that were just exclusive to that console, and then we'll have a multi-platform that covers things that were on multiple consoles at once, basically. So we've made that a slightly separate category. So we should be good.
We'll come back to you.
We'll come back. But yeah. So moving on from PS4 to Xbox One, this is one where we might need a little bit more help with, because I know you've picked up an Xbox One recently.
I had one before.
But I think I'm the only one that's owned one throughout, and I kind of keep him forgetting that I actually own one. I'm like, oh yeah, I own an Xbox One. I should play a game on it one time.
I kind of looked at an Xbox One once, if that counts.
Did it bite?
Yeah.
But for me, the only two games that have... Well, there's two games that have really stood out, and then one that I think deserves an honourable mention because it's an underappreciated game, so I threw it into the mix.
Halo 4.
Not Halo 4.
Okay.
Bleezy, I guess you're adding that. For me, the two Forza Horizon games, so 3 and 4.
I played Forza Horizon 4, and I can agree. I do not like racing games, but I was... absolutely blown away by that.
Yeah, it's a really enjoyable, easy to pick up and play game. I think four being set in the UK, that makes it like just to have that extra special thing, which not many games being set in the UK these days, that was quite nice. But then for me, the other one on the Xbox One was Sunset Overdrive. Like, I think that's a really great game that not as many people played as would have done.
Precursor to Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was about to say, if it wasn't for that game, we probably wouldn't have had Spider-Man.
Exactly. But I do think that it's enough of its own thing and was enjoyable enough that it's still worth a game worth experiencing and talking about in the conversation of the most interesting games of this generation. But as I said, Xbox One's definitely one where we could do with some additions to the list, so let's throw it over to the audience.
I'd just like to point out, pretty much everything on Xbox is available on PC now, so you can't have an Xbox-exclusive one.
Console exclusive.
Console exclusive. Okay.
If Ed can have Yakuza 0, we can have Xbox
then
One.
Halo Master Chief Collection, Halo 4, Halo 5, that Forza Horizon 4 mission with the Warthog in it. Like, the list goes on and on.
Good work, Bleezy. Good.
Well, we've been told.
To form. But yes, I will agree that there's probably some Halos in there. But I don't know if they, for me, were one of the best games of this generation. For me, you could bring the Halos from the previous generation to that conversation. I'm not so sure it's as easy to do from this generation.
I haven't played the Xbox One. I haven't bought one this generation. I haven't felt the need to. There is one game that I've wanted to play.
And Scalebound.
Ori and the Blind Forest. That is the one game that would convince me to get an Xbox, only for the fact that it's also on PC.
Which is also on PC,
and coming to Switch, I think.
Is it coming to Switch? If it's coming to Switch, damn yes.
You've either just lied to this man or made his day, one of the two.
We call it pulling a cup.
We'll find out later.
I bought my Xbox One for two games, which were Scalebound and Crackdown 3. So a winner is I. Because one of those games got cancelled and the other one seems like it should have been a long time ago, unfortunately. But yeah.
Recall. Okay, I didn't actually play that. I know Dan did, and he spoke about it on the podcast. We didn't allude to that, by the way, but Dan's not
here. Oh, we usually have another host who's not here. There you go. That's that done.
Kind of forgot to mention that at the start of the show, but yeah, he's not here this week, but he covers a bit more of our PC stuff and also covers a bit more other games that we don't, obviously. Mm. We can't all cover every game between us.
Mostly
but
Destiny.
He played Recall, but he seemed a bit disappointed with it. He came away not too pleased. fair enough.
The premise was there.
Anyone got any other suggestions for Xbox One games, possibly?
And now we do the awkward bit where we vamp because a mic's going to a member of the audience.
Sea of Thieves.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely think it deserves to be part of the conversation. You've played it more than I have, though, Colin.
Yeah, and that means I drunkenly played it for a night where I did sea shanties with some random people, had a child shouting at me, and got really fascinated by Aurora Borealis in the sky, and proceeded to shout Aurora Borealis several times. That was my experience of Sea of Thieves. I also had a random glitch where none of the items worked in my game, and I thought I just had to find them, and played a lot of that game completely unarmed, and it turned out it was a glitch and nothing loaded up correctly on day one. So there you go. That's my Sea of Thieves experience. But it looks great.
Game of the year.
I should get back to that one at some point.
But I think that's one definite prize coming to you for that one. I think that was a worthy suggestion, so yes.
Yeah, Sea of Thieves is interesting. Forza Horizon, you've already mentioned. Four, I haven't really gotten to four as much, but three I played. So that's probably the game I played the most of the Xbox One that wasn't an Xbox 360 backwards compatible game. And that was super fun. And I liked there was an Australian guy that sounded like Greg Wallace from MasterChef. So there you go.
Just realised we can't put Cuphead in that list anymore because it's on the Switch.
It's on the Switch.
Yeah, again, it's just this slightly sticky area of is it okay because it was launched as an exclusive and then came to something else. It's not out on the Switch yet. Does
These
that come
rules
into the
are
conversation?
Rubbish.
Right, look, I kind of came up with the topic and then I realised how difficult the rules were and how much there was going to get into the conversation.
Throw the rules out
I
the
still
window.
Think it's an interesting conversation to have. So, if there's nothing else for the Xbox One, we'll move on to the Switch.
I think that's what Microsoft said.
Yeah.
I think if you... sorry, I'm not a fanboy. I see a dying thing when I see one. So I think we should lump in Switch and Wii U in the same kind of category. I know
yes.
they are two
and
separate
I did
consoles.
Think
half of Switch's games are basically
Nintendo
just remakes.
Nintendo does. So, Switch, obviously, Mario Odyssey. That is Super Mario Odyssey is my favorite game on the Switch. It was my game of the year last year. It takes all these mechanics that you see in modern gaming of... Like, there's all these unlockable costumes and things and different areas to find and all this stuff. And any other game, this could have been sold to you through microtransactions or loot boxes. And Nintendo did none of that at all. There was no kind of paid DLC in Mario, even though they had a full platform to do it. And that game, thanks to the Switch being the portable console as well as the home console, that became the game that I would play any time outside the house. Go on the tube. Great, I've got an hour and a half on the tube. I'm playing Mario, you know.
Wasn't the balloon DLC paid for? Was that
no,
free?
That was a free update.
Really?
Yeah. Non-optional.
Good guy Nintendo.
There you go. Yeah.
They're really doing well at kind of currying favour with gamers in the light of, you know, other people's EA and Epic stores and all things making waves and kind of being negative. Nintendo are just really knocking it out of the park at kind of, you know, delivering on the promise to gamers. And
well, they're probably
and
still living off
DLC
that Wii money.
Nice way. Well, that helps as well.
Okay, so we've got Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
And I was going to mention, I don't know if anyone heard, but they've announced that both of those games, Mario Odyssey and Legend of Zelda, coming to Labo VR. But I thought that was really interesting, but it means I'm probably going to pick one or both of them up, which I haven't done yet.
Once someone takes the model of the Labo VR and 3D prints a model and then just sticks those lenses in so it's not a cardboard thing on your face, then I'll be more likely to go for that. But yeah, interesting. Yeah, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, a beautiful game, taking the Zelda format and adding this open world element to it that we haven't seen since the original Legend of Zelda. Brilliant DLC added to it. They added a motorcycle to a Zelda game. Like,
and it works.
And it works.
Also, weapon degradation sucks.
Yeah. Thank you, one person. Moving on, we've also got Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which that was the Ubisoft game. Nintendo let Ubisoft play with their toys, and they gave them Mario, and in return, Ubisoft gave them Rabbids.
That's the game that, before it came out, I don't think anybody believed it actually existed.
I believed.
People who saw key art, people saw all of this stuff, and you're like, what? This is clearly fake.
Yeah, it sounded like an April Fool's.
Exactly.
To be fair, I look at it now, and I'm like, nah, that's not real.
And yeah, it's fantastic. And the Rabbids are... 9 times out of 10, really annoying, but they actually do work in this game.
Yeah, and I actually found them amusing and funny in this game as well.
Yeah, which, agreed.
Yeah.
See, Rabbids kind of, they were about, and then they disappeared. And the Ubisoft tried really hard to get us into them, and it just seemingly didn't work. And it seemed really random that they came back for Kingdom Battle. And it wasn't until I went off to France a couple of months ago and I went, oh, they're really big. They're just not here. They're really big in Spain and France randomly.
Yeah, they're like the Minions were a couple of years ago. They're everywhere.
One day we will get Rabbids versus Minions and I will be a happy man.
I will cry. But it's probably already in development, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm developing it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Coding it on your phone?
Yeah. Funko's going to be in there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well,
to be fair, this game was always going to appeal to me, and I think... I possibly jumped on it before
Love
you
rabbits,
did a little bit.
Yeah.
Not, and I don't like Mario and I don't like rabbits, but just because it's a turn-based strategy game and I really like turn-based strategy games, basically. So that was definitely one that was I was always looking towards anyway. But I just think there was the whole nice thing about the developer clearly being a passion project where he absolutely loved working with Miyamoto. Pretty much, I think he cried on stage at one point and stuff like that through just the experience of getting to work on the game. And it's just nice seeing someone's passion being put into a game and that coming out in the game as well. That's something I'd just like to see, basically.
Who's got an addition for Nintendo lineup? What is the greatest game of this gaming generation with Nintendo?
Yoshi.
Yoshi's Craft World, Woolly World.
Both of them.
For Switch, Into the Breach.
Into the Breach.
Now
that's on PC.
We've already determined
several times.
PC doesn't count.
Yeah.
Set the rules, you abide by them.
I also say that as a PC.
Should have said I put a slightly separate list, and I didn't know whether to do this or not, but there was enough that didn't quite creep into the rest of the list, but Into the Breach was one of the ones that made me do this. I put on a indie games of the generation, just to give a bit of a shout out. I thought we were at Res, we wanted to do that anyway a little bit, but Into the Breach is definitely one of my favourite games of this generation. I absolutely loved it as well. So,
and Tim's favourite game of the generation is moving the goalposts.
There's one that I'm playing at the moment, which is Junk Planet.
Okay. Junk Planet.
Junk Planet.
Junk.
Joel Planet. Junk Planet. Okay.
Yeah, it's like Terraria, but dumbed down for kids. But it's really addictive.
That sounds better for me. Dumbed down Terraria.
Yeah.
I like it. Is it Terraria or Terraria?
Terraria.
Terraria. Terraria. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Anything else? Switch over there, gentlemen, by the way.
Oh. Make him work for it.
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yes! Winner! Give that man a bag.
But that's a remake, really.
No, I totally...
It's the same game.
It's not the same game. Look, all the characters from every game and all the movies and the music alone.
I don't like Smash.
Yes, no, that is a perfect suggestion. Thank you.
Prize coming to you for that one, definitely.
I know you're ruling out remakes, but where does Tetris 99 fit in?
To me, that's an entirely new gaming experience. It's a sequel rather than a remake,
where
essentially.
Was Tetris
basically.
Effect on PS4?
And Tetris Effect. Well, that's why it's in the PSVR section.
I think your rules are going to get very muddy soon.
My rules are already very muddy. We've established this.
Yeah, Tetris 99 is an absolute banger of a game. It's one that I played solidly for like 2 weeks, and now I'm too scared to go back for it because the people that are good at Tetris suddenly rose to the top, and then the people like myself, like I've gone from getting level 3 in a placement to now I can't get past like 50. So
get good.
Yeah, get good, yeah. Scrub. Oh, you also play Tetris, right. The Dark Souls of Tetris games. It needs an easy mode where it takes all the terrible people like me and makes them play in the baby pool somewhere. You know?
Right, so should we go on and move into multi-format then?
Yes. Nah, let's go home. Okay. Go on.
So, multi-format, the first one we put on the list, kind of a remake, but I decided this was slightly different from a remake, so I included it. Can bell me for this? But I think I had to put Doom in the conversation. Like,
yeah, no, Doom.
For me, that's significantly different enough. It's not like just it's a reboot, so I didn't exclusively rule out reboots.
Yeah, it's not a remake at all.
Yes, so I think that's fine. That gets into the conversation for me. That's okay.
It's thematically similar to the original Doom.
The other one that I think we had to put into the conversation, we did already mention it, that was Red Dead Redemption. I think that's a no-brainer to get in the conversation. I personally haven't played it yet. I probably will at some point. But I think it's, again, a no-brainer for that to be in the conversation.
Yeah, I bounced off Red Dead really quickly.
I love Red Dead Redemption really too.
It feels like the best game of the PlayStation 3 generation.
Yeah. Oh,
shots fired. Red Dead Redemption 2 is one of my favourite games of all time, so stuff ya. I will die on that hill.
To the death.
The Witcher 3.
Yep. I think that gets in there for me, definitely.
Yeah, out of support for that game alone, I think that deserves something.
The Game of the Year edition of that game goes on sale like every few months for like less than a tenner. And if you have not already bought that, you're a fool. You're all fools. The amount of hours you're going to get out of that game is unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable.
When I saw that at E3 in preview, we basically, they gave a sort of a presentation and they were showing the open world and the boats and all that type of stuff. And several of the journalists in the room that I was in did not believe they would deliver on the promises they were saying in that presentation. And every single one of them they delivered in the final build of that game, basically. I think it's an amazing game.
Oh, I agree.
Which makes me even more hyped for Cyberpunk, because the stuff that they're promising for that is even more ambitious, and they did that before and they nailed it, so they're going to do it again,
and
I think.
I trust them to deliver again, basically. So, yeah, I'm really excited for that as well.
Monster Hunter World.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I expected more reaction for that.
He got no one. But, yeah. But, yeah, I think that's a game that made itself a bit more accessible in this generation and therefore got quite a bit of success through doing that as well, no?
Monster Hunter World's launch was a really weird thing because all of a sudden, like, everyone I've ever known who doesn't play Monster Hunter World was suddenly playing Monster Hunter. And then very quickly, they all dropped off as well because it's so fun to play with friends. And then you get to a point and then it's that the difficulty curve turns into a brick wall in which you bang your head against. And like, I tried breaking my way through to finish Monster Hunter World, but I got to a point. But I must have sunk a good 30, 40 hours into that game before I gave up. So it did well. It's still doing well.
I really like Monster Hunter World, but I do prefer For Human Generations. I just think they're better games. The portability of it. I mean, counting 3DS as this generation, or
3DS does sneak in. Well, again, it got even muddier when we got into the world of handhelds as to which handhelds qualify for this generation, because that muddied the waters even more. So I kind of ruled them out.
We had a limited time on this podcast. Yes, so we decided
Then I'm still just going to say, like, as good as Monster Hunter World is, I do prefer the older ones. There's just something about them, the portability of it. I think.
See, now you said no remakes, and you've put Titanfall 2 in here. And that is clearly a remake of Mega Man in first person. Because I love Titanfall 2. You go through, you get a mech, that's brilliant. You go beat bosses, that boss gives you a power. You use that power to beat the next boss. That's Mega Man.
Well, yeah, I thought it was slightly underappreciated, maybe slightly undersold, but had one of the most enjoyable campaign modes in a first-person shooter in this generation.
Good. Yeah, outside of maybe Doom, I think it's up there with the best in terms of just single-player campaigns.
Go on, then. We're going to... Yeah. Let's get some more suggestions.
Was anyone else genuinely sad when their robot died in Titanfall 2?
Of course. Spoilers. Slight spoilers, but yes.
If you haven't played it by now, it's like...
Well, I'm sorry.
I still miss BT.
Sorry?
I still miss BT. I was going to say... Destiny 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Destiny was on the list. I mainly put it in for Dan. I think we all forgot about it.
But
was
Dan's not here, so Dan's it's gone now.
Yeah.
So can I put it back on the list?
This is
multi-platform.
Yeah, this is the multi-platform list, I guess. But yeah, like, that's where it gets a bit muddy. But for me, does Destiny 1 qualify more than Destiny 2? I kind of thought it did.
I'd say Destiny 1 qualifies more just because of the quality of life improvements that they added with the DLC and made for a much more entertaining game. A lot of that they then carried over to 2 and then seemingly stripped out again and then started adding in again, and I just can't keep up with 2 compared to 1, so...
Right. For multi-platform, are we counting Metal Gear Solid 5, even though that came out on the PS3 and the 360?
Yeah, I thought that was multi-platform.
We're only counting finished games.
Yes.
Yes, I agree, but the fact that it's still one of my favourite games of all time, despite the fact that it was missing a whole third act, is either really bad judgment of my own taste, or the fact that they made a really, really great game and then just were cruelly cut away from making it perfect.
I mean, if the third act had a smoking monkey in it, I think that would have finished it to, you know, a
really
high degree.
Topped it off, really.
Yeah, really.
And we cannot mention Metal Gear Solid 5 without saying it's probably one of the best action games of the generation and one of the worst Metal Gear games in the series.
Before we move on, I just want to add something into the multi-format thing. Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, it's been out for, like, 4 days.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm already 40 hours in.
Yeah, I've put so much time into it. It's such a... I hate it. I absolutely hate it, but it's one of the best games I've ever played.
It also hates you, though, so...
Yeah, like, that game tests you, and it forces you to learn how to play it, and it forces you to unlearn everything that you know about Souls games and action games in general. And, yeah, if you can get past the absolute fact that it hates you... Play it, because it's so good. Like, believe the hype. And it doesn't need an easy mode. It doesn't need an
easy
mode.
It's too easy already. Didn't you hear all the...
Far too easy.
It's weird standing here. I can hear myself coming out the speaker. Right, got another suggestion.
I was going to say, like, either Overwatch or, as much as I hate to say it, Fortnite.
Yeah, I think that has to come into the conversation. Unfortunately, but yes.
I put too many hours into Fortnite that it can't be on this. Like, you know, it has to be on this list. But I think after the first 10 hours of Fortnite, once they released Apex, I was like, meh, don't need that anymore.
I was going to say Nier Automata.
Okay. Yep.
So Automata?
I still haven't played Automata? It. One I've been meaning to make time for. Also, I would have thought you would have put Overwatch into this conversation.
I've fallen quite... Easy put it onto it.
But I would have thought Diarmaid would have mentioned it first.
There was two games that I was going to mention, and Overwatch was one of them. I had it down in my notes on my phone, but of course I haven't taken out my phone yet. But it is a fantastic game, and it's the fact that it's still as popular as it is testament to just how good of a formula they have with that. And people have tried making that the hero, competitive hero shooter slash whatever, melee, as well, and it just has not come off for them. But at the same time, I'm just like, yeah, that's definitely worth being in this conversation. But the other one I wanted to mention, Rocket League.
Ah, yes. You do love your Rocket
League. Never heard of it.
Oh, my God. That is my popcorn game. No, doesn't matter what mood I'm in. I could have a headache and might not want to have sex, but I definitely want to play Rocket League. So there you go.
That was a suggestion for Fortnite I was running off for, by the way.
Okay, so we got there.
People like that Fortnite.
Yep.
But hey, can we do the VR games?
Yes, I think I'll rattle through this fairly quickly, but I think you can sound off on a few of them as well. For me, Astro Bot Rescue Mission, that's definitely in there in the conversation. Too cute not to kind of accept it. Also, slightly earlier, but I still think it gets to be part of the conversation for me, Moss. Moss was the game that I actually saw at EGX originally, and that made me a believer in platforming VR games, which I didn't think would be a thing beforehand. Astrobot nailed it a bit more, but Moss was the thing that really got me there in the first place.
Can I do my one?
Oh, yeah, go on.
Batman Arkham VR is the greatest VR game in all of existence.
Is that just because you get to be Batman?
That is the main factor as well. And it's one of the only games that I've played that actually made me... That game starts off with you getting an elevator down into the Batcave, and when the floor started moving, I went, whoop, in the demo, and I felt very silly for it. But, yeah, I love that Arkham series, and that game does slot into the Arkham series somewhere quite nicely. And just the experience, you get to be Batman. I love those games because you feel like Batman when you're playing them, and that one, you are Batman.
You didn't have to act like you were the 1966 Batman throughout the whole thing.
Quickly, old chum.
A couple of others. Superhot VR, I wasn't the biggest fan of the original game, to be honest, but when that moved into VR, that really... nailed it for me. And it was a lot of people talk about like No Man's Sky being the killer app for VR and that coming. For me, Superhot was one of the first things that I thought was a killer app in terms of this is a good game to show off to people that haven't seen VR before.
That is the first thing I recommend to people in VR. As much as I love Batman, Superhot VR is it's just fun.
And then Eve Valkyrie, that was the thing that turned me into a believer in VR. I saw it at E3. That was the thing. Like, it was my first appointment at E3, and it was the worst idea, basically, because everything I saw after that was on a flat screen and seemed like yesterday's news, basically, kind of thing. That was the first game that turned my head to VR, so it's one I still give a nod to, and it's one I will take memories away from this generation from.
I want to throw this one out to the audience straight away because VR games, there's loads of them. There's got to be loads of these.
Well, there's a few that we haven't said from the list as well. Wipeout, I definitely think, is a definite part of the conversation.
They turn their servers off for that now.
But that's a bit weird because is that a remake in VR? That becomes very fuzzy as well. But hey, anyway.
Well, obviously, the Rick and Morty.
Okay, because
you get to be a Morty.
I still haven't picked that up. I'm a reasonable fan of Rick and Morty. I don't like necessarily admitting that I'm a fan in terms of I'm not one of those people jumping up on McDonald's counters and kicking
people
in the face.
Give us our Szechuan sauce.
You are?
Please, no.
I've seen you do that.
Well, okay. You know, only the odd Friday night. But
because you've got to have a quite high IQ to play the Rick and Morty VR game, I think.
There's that
just
as well.
Don't get it.
I played the Justin Roiland one, which I quite liked.
Counting Plus.
Accounting Plus, which was really just stupid, same sort of level of humour, really stupid and really funny, quite abstract and weird, but quite good fun with it as well. So. Yes, that's true.
Beat Saber. That's what got me to buy a PSVR.
It was a very disappointed man at the back. He's trying to say
you got to start at the back, Coleman. Got to start at the back.
Sorry.
And all the people at the front.
Beat Saber is a banging game.
Yeah, again, that's one I haven't picked up myself. I think I was ill. Right, I was... This is my only problem that I have
he
with VR
Xbox
is
as well.
Having a cold when playing VR is a non-pleasurable experience. That just stops me from playing VR. And I think I had a cold when that came out, and it's one of the only reasons I haven't picked it up. I'm not the biggest music game fan, but that's one I'd actually pick up just because it looks such good fun, basically.
Beat Saber has the effect of super hot VR, where when you're playing this game, you are the coolest person in the world. You are wielding two lightsabers in time with the beat, and when you're hitting everything, you're like, yes, I must look like a badass. When in reality, if you can hold that, you're like this.
For podcast listeners,
yes.
He's gesticulating yep. wildly.
That was pretty much the bat 2C.
So a couple of others that I will throw into the conversation. We mentioned Tetris Effect before, and that for me, I love Tetris. A Tetris VR game. I didn't even know I wanted it necessarily, but a Tetris VR game made by Mitsuguchi. Okay, yes, definitely, I'm in. That's a good thing for me. And the other one, which is a bit weird, and I don't know if this is quite qualifies for games of the generation, but again, it's a memory I will take away from this generation going forward. Star Trek Bridge Crew, playing with this gentleman
oh,
right here.
Oh, yes.
That's just been a really good, fun multiplayer VR experience that's just been really silly and kind of lived out childhood dreams of being a captain on the Enterprise.
That is one of the most stressful looking games, but at the same time it makes for really good video, so I enjoy watching people play it more than I like playing it.
Yeah,
it took me like the first two missions to figure out how to actually move the ship, seeing as I was the helmsman.
Yeah, the first time I was the helmsman, I got in somewhat trouble with my captain for crashing the ship a little bit.
So true to life.
Yeah,
true to life.
Yeah, it's fine.
There you go. Anyone else have some VR suggestions? Oh, I was enjoying getting up for a minute then.
I'm surprised, being given that you're a big Until Dawn fan, you didn't say Rush of Blood.
I actually originally had it on my list. I took it off just because, and this is difficult. For me, yes, it's one of my personal favourite games. It was a great launch game. It again made me go, oh, look, light gun games are back, and that's a great thing for me because I enjoyed that style of game. It's also... not many other games have done what it did in terms of being on a roller coaster and a light gun game at the same time. I really enjoy it. I was trying to trim my list down a bit, so I just crossed it off, but I'm glad you mentioned it in the conversation because it's one of my favourites. I
mean, got another one.
I'm going to hate myself for saying this, but Elite Dangerous.
See, right, okay. Now, I'm more of a PSVR gamer and DMed as well, and I am ignoring the fact that game exists because it didn't actually come out with PSVR support, and I am angry at the fact that
you're
it
voting
did.
With your wallet.
You're not yes. missing much.
Can't we just daisy chain PSVR?
I'd rather
PS4
take
Pros.
A visual downgrade and be able to enjoy the game than not be able to play at all.
The argument simulator, keep talking and nobody explodes.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Yes, that is a good one.
That is a good shout.
Yeah.
That is a very good shout.
That's, again, a very stressful game that I try to avoid.
Oh, we got one more about there as well.
Quite an old VR game there, but Raw Data.
Yes, okay, yeah.
The most terrifying experience in VR.
That's one I've played bits of, but I think I've watched more of my friends play it than I've actually played it myself. But yeah, that seems good. I don't know how valuable I rate it in the kind of this kind of conversation, but it's a good game, definitely. Yeah,
Resident Evil 7 for terrifying VR.
Now a lot of people talk about that as the best VR game, and I've owned it I think since launch and haven't played a minute of it, so that's all on me. That's something I need to do at some stage. Me and horror games don't always get on that well. Not as
you don't get scared of anything.
I don't get scared.
You're
of anything.
A manly man.
Yeah, you watched me play the kitchen demo, and everyone else was really
yeah,
breaking it. And I'd literally just it just like those jump scare things. Okay, they made me go, and then I'm like, okay.
We went to do a preview for a bunch of PSVR stuff, and he got to try the kitchen demo, which in that game was the secret Resident Evil 7 demo. And you're tied to a chair and all these horrible things are going on, then suddenly there's like scary woman jumps down above you. And he went, oh, what's that? Hello. Like, not fazed by this game at all. He punched a bear on the way here. That's how manly he is. Not scared of horror games.
Not sure that's a manly thing, but anyway. Yeah, okay. Regarding
Resident Evil 7, I just wanted to mention, I downloaded the demo, the one that had VR in it, loaded into the first room in VR, looked around, turned it off.
I have to admit, our PSVR coverage for horror games is a bit weird because DMed won't play any of them. Nope. And I don't get scared by them. So...
Nope.
And I get motion sick.
Nope.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played Resident Evil 7. I did capture for that game and I jumped so hard that I kicked my desk and disconnected the capture card and then I gave up. So I didn't even try the VR section.
I want to throw something in for my pick. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For much the same reason as Coleman, I don't do VR. It makes me very sick. And that's why this game is a bit of a surprise for me. I don't know if it
Batman
counts.
Batman Arkham VR.
No. Spider-Man. No, Ace Combat 7.
Ooh.
That game was incredible. Like, the VR missions were amazing. And VR makes me feel very, very sick. I feel very motion sick. Like whenever I go around and see Tim.
So you thought loop-de-loops and spiral spins? And
yeah, I don't know why. I went around, Tim was playing it, and he was like, have a go. I was like, no, I'm going to be sick. He's like, just do it, I'm okay. And then I put it on, and it was amazing. And yeah, like you said, corkscrews, loop-de-loops, all sorts. So I took it off, I was like, that was amazing. I do not know why sitting there and playing Astrobot Rescue makes me want to go home and be sick, but I can sit in a cockpit and be a pretend fighter pilot for an hour. Like, it was so good.
I do think cockpit-based games do work well for the medium as well, basically. It's a good thing. And
stop I'm laughing at that
glad
word.
You didn't laugh at that, Coleman, but
the word pit is very funny.
It's hilarious.
Right, so yeah, I think we'll rattle through the rest of these a little bit. We did mention a couple of them, but as I said, I made a slightly separate section for indie games as well, so hopefully we'll get a few more suggestions to add to this list as well. But
Dead Cells.
Well, yeah. But yeah, like we mentioned Into the Breach, that's one that I put on this list. In fact, I think all four of them are some degree of turn-based combat that I put on this list, but still. Into the Breach... SteamWorld Heist, which I just went downstairs and played SteamWorld Quest. If anyone's played that's a game I'll be buying. But SteamWorld Heist is definitely one of my favourite games of this generation. I just really liked it. Good humoured turn-based combat that's a little bit different to other turn-based combat games, but yeah, really good fun. Really enjoyed that.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And then the other ones, which I'll get through quickly. The Banner Saga, which was one that I got to more recently when it came on the Switch.
One, two, or three?
The nicest menu one. I don't know. For me, probably one, because it was pretty much very similar all the way through. Mm. And three kind of finished off the story, but one was the game that introduced me to that series as well, basically.
You've got to stop looking away from your mic.
I do. I'm terrible. I keep looking at your lovely face. That's the problem.
I've been trying not to mention it to him all podcast.
It's okay.
That's fine. And the last one, and I just want to mention this as well, it was my game of the show at Res last year, and it really delivered for me. And I actually went yesterday and asked the developer if you mind me hugging him. He said yes, it was okay. And I just told him that how much I loved his game, and it's my comfort blanket, and it's my default game that I go back to.
Marry him, why don't you?
And I love it. Well, he was actually really pleased and said it was a really nice, lovely thing to hear, and he was quite happy with it. But that's a Wargroove, basically. I really liked Advance Wars. I was a big fan of that series. And them literally going, they're not making Advanced Wars anymore, so we're going to come do that. And I'm like, thank you very much. You really nailed it and you really delivered it, and I'm really happy with it, so thank you.
Okay. Anyone else got some indie suggestions for the greatest game of this gaming generation?
Overcooked.
Oh!
Good shout.
Oh, you saucy...
Yeah, the first one as well, over the second one. The second one's fantastic and considerably more refined, but there's just something about the first one. It's tougher. It's a game that my girlfriend and I played and didn't break up. So we're basically married now.
Overcooked 2 is the single most reason for arguments in my household. She doesn't like how mean I get. I am Gordon Ramsay about the adulteration.
We started playing Overcooked 2, got about a world into it, and I went, I'm out. I love you too much.
Can I cheat and have two? Yep. They're by the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Papers, Please.
Okay, yeah, it's a good shout. Yep.
Glory to Ostasca.
And Return of Obra Dinn.
Ah, right. Now, that's one that, again, I'm more of a console gamer. I am hopeful that will come to consoles either this year or very soon, because one I really like the look of and would really love to play as well.
Really, really clever. Very well done.
Okay, yep. I think we need to get you a prize. You've had enough good answers now. We'll throw a prize your way as well.
Would you like a camel ball?
I think everyone's leaving with camel balls, whether you like them or not. We have 200 of them to give away.
Sounds like you're going to do something horrible.
That sounds like we're going to force camel balls on people. But no, you don't have to take them. We'll just have enough for you to take some when you go. Yeah, and anyone that I've told to have a prize will sort your prizes out at the end of the show, basically.
That's called a desert tea bag.
Okay.
I've got two favourites at the moment. That would be Heat Signature.
Okay.
And also Binding of Isaac, which is on basically every platform. It's so easy to pick up and put down.
I don't know if you guys have seen.
Something I've never
Rick
played
and
before.
I played the card game of that yesterday. That's downstairs in the tabletop gaming section. Worth
it's
playing at some point.
Very good.
It's a bit like Munchkin, but better, I would say, which is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, there's a nice combat system in it that uses dice rolls instead of, you know, the luck of the card. Now you can blame a dice
it's
for
it. It's
just
a dust cloud where Sarah was.
And any more suggestions for indie games of the generation?
I have two as well. Mm-hmm. The first one could have gone on your Switch one, which was Golf Story.
Ah, right. That's one of my favourites as well. I love that, yeah.
That was a brilliant game. Mm. Loved every minute of it. The second one is actually playable here, is Nippon Marathon.
Ah, I haven't played that yet, but that you would put that in the conversation? Okay,
that
I will
game
have to
is
go
brilliant.
Gravitate towards that and get play four that tomorrow,
player,
hopefully.
Four-player kind of speed, kind of like Speedrunner, but if all your characters are inept.
Takeshi's Castle. Takeshi's Castle meets Gang Beasts and Unicorns.
Okay,
that's very
I think
fun.
You sold that to me, so hey. Oh, one at the back, is it? No, that's fine.
You really want these camel balls, don't you?
FDL.
Oh, yeah, okay. We mentioned Into the Breach. I didn't really play FTL. I don't know if it... Did it ever come to consoles and I just missed it? I don't think it did. No, it was PC only. So that's one of the games that nearly made me go and play on a PC, basically. The only game that's made me do that in this generation, by the way, incidentally, XCOM 2. Again, turn-based strategy. That seems to be a theme here. But yeah, like you know, yeah, I think that's a good suggestion. I know a lot of people that regard that very highly as well. So, yeah.
My final one, Hollow Knight.
Hollow Knight,
thank
yes.
you. I've been waiting to say that.
Cool. Right. Couple more.
I'm just going to throw this one out there because, like, it's just never got enough attention. Yep. But My Time at Porsche.
Ah, now, I haven't played that. But, yeah, I've heard really a lot of people heard, you know, talk of it in very high regard, basically. So, yeah.
Here as well.
Sorry?
It's playable here.
Yeah. Again, one I might need to check out while I'm here, basically.
Yeah, same as Tim. I haven't got to play it myself yet, but I've seen nothing but love for it.
We've got a couple more. As I'm going to this guy, I will say Undertale.
Ooh, Undertale. That's a good shout as well.
Was that your suggestion? How about Darkest Dungeon? I mean...
Ah, now that's one I think Dan played on the show, I believe, and talked about.
Oh,
I think.
Both have. Yeah.
Oh, you played as well, yeah.
Does it count? Or like a game like Inside?
Inside is another one I haven't played. But yeah, okay, I think that's two good suggestions.
Really
that definitely could get on the list.
Darkest Dungeon
we'll
is really
a prize,
good.
Martin,
looking forward
well.
To the second
You're on
one.
The prize list.
Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley.
Okay. Yeah.
The incredible time-wasting eater of your life.
Yeah. Hi, Chris. I'm not 100% sure if it counts as this generation, but To the Moon. It's a narrative story about... The way to describe it is Eternal Sunshine meets Inception meets the opening 10 minutes of Up, which is the only good bit of Up.
You sound like a Kickstarter
you
pitch.
You dark individual.
Squirrel.
Who hurt you?
Everyone, Rick, and especially you. No, but it's a really beautiful adventure. It's the story keeps you guessing, and it's one of the few games where I've ever like full-on just cried at an ending of a game. So it's absolutely fantastic.
That sounds
someone
good,
hasn't played Metal Gear Solid 2, I'm just saying.
Metal Gear Solid 3's the crier.
I second that. Yeah. The scene at the grave. Yeah. That got me.
Well, that sounds like a good suggestion, but I lost track after you started saying bad things about Up. Like.
The Telltale's The Walking Dead episode 4 wasn't a game I cried at, but it was the first game I threw my controller in and screamed. So there you go.
That was the first game you did that for.
Yeah.
I wish I had your calmness.
And it wasn't like a like angry kind of thing. It was like, no! Like, I really wasn't happy.
You must be the calmest gamer ever.
I am pretty zen.
Right. Now, I did make room for a great British debate here. Yeah. But I think looking at time and how we're doing for things and how many other things we get discussed, I'm going to leave that to the end and see if we've got time for it. So I'm going to kick that back a bit. But yeah, so... we'll move on, I think, basically. Yep. We're going to go to one of the little discussion on the best board game video games and video game board games.
This is going to be a very quick discussion. You're the only one who plays board games, I think.
Yeah, it's something, as I said, we do our Tabletop Tuesday event. It's a board game event in a video game themed bar. We are a nice meeting point of the world of board and video games kind of thing. And yeah, just wanted to kind of have some discussion of what we think makes a good game in that sort of category. There's a few things actually here at Res that are worth checking out, like we just said, The Binding of Isaac and stuff like that. But yeah, so just kind of covering the kind of the best and kind of just kind of talking about what makes a good conversion from one to the other. And yeah, like there's a few that I've played recently that I don't think necessarily do a great job of it. And just covering, we'll do video game board games. This gets very, very...
You mean...
Board games that are based on a video game's property.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yes.
Not digital board games based on video games.
Board games based on... So we're talking about cardboard versions of video games.
Can I do mine, which is going to render all yours completely useless and make this feature moot completely? There is a version of Jenga where all the blocks are replaced with Tetris parts. Jenga Tetris is the greatest board game, tabletop game to have been created from a video game property.
You have to say it correctly.
Yeah. Jenga Tetris.
Wait, there's some
If this was my mic, I'd drop it.
Okay.
I won't.
there is a few that I think are probably some of the more well-known ones that I don't necessarily think do the best job of like replicating the game or doing it. We recently were playing the Fallout board game. I've been playing that for review. And it's a really good replication of the video game, but to the detriment of being the best board game it could be. To the point, like they've put in a lot of mechanics from the video game that you'd want and you'd recognize and a fan of the game would be looking for, but that kind of weighs the whole thing down quite a lot to the point where it takes quite a long time to take your turn. It takes a while to play through. And I think it could have been a much more succinct and faster board game if they stripped out some of the stuff that they were... seemingly determined to wedge in because of its relation to the video game.
It also would have been nicer if they made the rules a bit easier to understand because no one seems to know how to play it properly, which is a pain because there's some really nice ideas in it. Like it has like adventure cards and it turns into a choose your own adventure kind of scenario where you do a quest and then you have two or three different ways of ending the quest and then depending on which one you pick, you get to move on to a different one and then it branches out and branches out. And that's cool. You know, that's nice. It looks nice. It's like aesthetically pleasing, I think we could call it. The combat system's atrocious, though. I absolutely hate the combat system. It has attack and defense as VATs on the same dice. So you attack and defend at the same time. So you'll roll to hit something, and you could miss your target and then take damage for some reason. And I don't think that's a very good...
It's called shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, literally that. It is just... If they would have just refined that a bit better, it would have been better, I think.
It's also one of these board games that you can play in one player as well, which I don't know about you, but when I've got a video game option already... I possibly don't need a one-player board game. I don't know if that's just me.
That would be my argument to all of these, by the way.
Well, yeah, pretty much, but...
Can I rattle a few of these off? I can kill these, basically.
Right.
Portal. It's a beautiful-looking game. Yep. It plays very boring.
It's about collecting cake, though.
It's so boring. Yeah. The Witcher, the board game, the adventure game.
Oh, yeah, that's one you really didn't like.
That was one I was so excited for. Bought it day one, and it pre-ordered it. It turned up. And it's the most overly complicated board game that it really just isn't very fun and isn't very interesting at the same time.
And I know you're really interested and really want to pick up the Dark Souls board game, which I think you'd probably get your money's worth just out of the miniatures that are in that game, Rick, and anyone else that's a fan of the Dark Souls game. But it has been criticised for being a bit heavy in its mechanics again. Again, it does a good job
of replicating the Dark Souls the video board games.
But yeah, but doesn't
Now, I do think that that wouldn't be a problem because it is something that I'm interested in playing. Mm. Like Fallout, I'm going to get... I'm going to get rubbish for this. I don't like Fallout. I don't like Fallout 3, don't like Fallout 4, the other one. Like they're not games for me.
I loved 3 and bounced off 4, but I like the universe still.
I'm just so bored of Mad Max looking post-apocalyptic stuff that...
Have you played Mad Max from Avalanche Studios?
No.
Okay.
Rage 2.
Someone needs to play Far Cry New Dawn.
I'm not excited about Borderlands 3, but that's because I have a problem with Randy Pitchford. But I'll go into that when we're not recording. All I want is a post-apocalyptic game based on Waterworld.
Are you saying it's time we need to bring back Kevin Costner? Is what you're saying, yeah? Motion how's capture that, Kevin Costner.
How's that not been made?
I don't know.
How has Avalanche Studios not made this?
I don't know. Let's ask them.
Patent pending. Right. Patent pending.
If I can bring it.
Thank you.
Do the horrible thing of bringing us back to the point a little bit, but yeah, basically, there's a few games that I think actually do a really good job of either replicating the video game well or just doing a good job of kind of representing that universe and making a fun game in that universe
rather than trying fun.
To completely replicate the video game experience, basically. For example, the one that they just announced for Borderlands, Tiny Tina's Robot Party, I like that direction and going with a silly thing from that universe and kind of playing up to fans of that universe rather than trying to have a Borderlands kind of adventure game type thing as some of the ones we mentioned. Some of the ones that I think do a really good job, Mechs vs. Minions is very highly regarded. It's slightly different take, but it's got some of the kind of lane system going on from the main game and kind of it's a really nice kind of miniatures-based game, but that does things really well. There's a game called Adrenaline, which does actually a really good job of it's kind of it doesn't have like a Doom or a kind of property attached to it, but for me it does the best job of representing the first person shooter mechanics in a board game, basically. So if you're a fan of first person shooters and board games, that's a good one to check out. It's one where you get like extra points for like overkilling someone and yeah, it's got some really nice like mechanic systems that work really well at representing how a first-person shooter and a particularly a online competitive first-person shooter works as well, basically. So, yeah, I think that does a really good job. The Gears of War board game is a bit harder to find, but was actually generally highly regarded and kind of well put together, especially at a time when there wasn't as many kind of video game properties going into the board game world. That actually did quite well. Plague Inc. is like...
How many more of these do you have?
I've got a few. They're good examples. Plague Inc. did a very good job of representing the kind of card game type thing. I don't know if anyone's familiar with board games, might be familiar with Pandemic. And this is kind of the reverse situation when you're actually the disease and trying to spread the disease as much as possible. And I think the card game version of that's a decent game as well, basically. A little one that I backed on Kickstarter as well is a little game called Dragon Punch. It's a two-player, like, Street Fighter-esque type game. And it literally fits in like almost a kind of Oyster card holder, basically. And it's a tiny little game. And I don't know if it's available, but if you can hunt it down, it's worth hunting down a little game called Dragon Punch. There you go.
Does anyone have anything to add on board games that are from video game properties, or as Tim listed, everyone in existence?
XCOM.
Right now, XCOM was on our list as one that I was a bit iffy on. Like, I think it's a really good game, but I think the barrier to entry it creates and having to have an app to play through it means that I might as well be playing the video game almost, kind of thing. That could be particular to me, but yeah.
So I don't play a lot of board games, but there is one that's great.
Yep.
Halo Monopoly.
We have a Zelda Monopoly on the table with us here today, but
I'm sorry, I thought you said Halo Muppet.
Still works.
I was thinking, what is that game? Why haven't I played it? It sounds amazing.
You know there's that Funko Gears of War game coming out?
Yeah.
Halo Muppets.
Halo Muppets would be amazing. Kermit is already green, like Master Chief.
We're going to finish the fight.
So
So this one's not based on the game property as such, yep. But it's by... And it's a game that Coleman talks about all the time, Drop okay. Mix by Harmonix.
Oh, okay, yep.
That's a... Oh, sorry. I was going to say, like, and I'm not going to lie, this idiot made me buy it because he carried on talking about it so much and then it was on discount. So I was like, damn, I'll go in.
Yeah,
that idiot made me play it and it's a lot of fun.
That's actually Tim's fault. He bought me that for Christmas. Yeah, that is a game by Harmonix.
Is Drop Mix basically Music 2000 in board game form?
Yes. Cards are samples, based. You lay them down and you make a beat and you add in vocals and everything. It's brilliant.
Are we going to try and sell more copies of Drop Mix?
If you haven't bought Drop Mix, it's very cheap at the moment. Go on Amazon and pick it up. And then you should Harmonix and say that I specifically told you to buy that game. I think I'm up to about 20 people now. There is a Carly Rae Jepsen card, if you didn't hear that. It's... It is Call Me Maybe.
Right. It's because it's the best song.
I have found a way to get some of the cards from America now.
Ooh. We will talk after the show. Just found a way of importing cards.
Right, cool. And we're going to flip this the other way around this time as well. So we're going to do the best video game board games. So digital versions of board and card games.
That's not.
That's the same one. It's board game video games.
I get confused. But you know what I mean anyway.
Video game versions of board games.
Yes, that's what we're going for.
Should we do video game versions of board games that are based off of video game property?
Right. No, we're coming on to. Right, I'm coming on to.
How deep does this rabbit hole go?
This rabbit hole goes another level deeper with the next topic that gets even more weirder. But right, just a few. There's actually a few, and we haven't really mentioned many mobile games today. And there's a few actually on mobile platforms that I think are particularly good. Mm-hmm. Star Realms is a really good. Two-player deck-building game, one of my favourites, and also the app is actually really good, and the free portion of the app can teach you the game before you have to actually make any purchases, and it's a really good way of actually learning the game, even if you are just going to play the game in the physical version. Then also, Elder Sign is one that I've played quite a lot of on my phone. It's quite a long sort of board game to play through, and it's not the longest, but it's a longer game. And that one I find is quite quick, and the app for that I just found really good. And the other one, and this is one that goes back and forth because I backed the digital version and the physical version, and it's a version of a... like it's a video game-themed game that... isn't based on an actual video game, but it's a game called Boss Monster. Basically, you're the boss of a dungeon, and you're trying to attract heroes into your dungeon to kill them. And the digital version of that's quite good, but it's one of those games that gets a bit more love for me than it possibly deserves, just because I really like the aesthetic and the kind of the design. It's all 8-bit art on cards, and then the kind of the box is an actual NES box. The expansion comes in a Game Boy box. Like, it's all kind of very much geared towards gamers. It's not mechanically the best game, but I just love it a bit, basically. So, yeah.
I can only make one contribution to this section, mm-hmm. So I'm going to make it now. You guys have all heard of PlayLink, I'm guessing? Mm-hmm. Sony's mobile interactivity with their PlayStation. Ubisoft brought out a version of Uno that works on PlayLink, and it works surprisingly well. So there you go. That's my suggestion.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
I have never played Uno.
Well, not even play Uno after this.
Not even naked Uno on the 360 with your camera, no?
Not even the card game.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
We learn something new every day.
I grew up under a rock, apparently.
I believe there's a version of Ticket to Ride that's.
There is also a Ticket to Ride version as well. I haven't played that yet, but that is if it's any way good, I'm picking that up.
I don't know if this still exists. There was a version of Scrabble that they released on the iPad, and to play it, you would have to have an iPad, and all four people playing would have to have an iPhone, which served as their tile decks. And it just proved, I mean, at the time, I think iPhones were like £700, the iPad was about £1,000. It just, the most kind of...
Yeah, over-egging the pudding. Over
yeah, there. Ridiculous. Right.
If this game wasn't called Scrapple... they missed out.
Yeah, and a couple of other suggestions. I said I'm not the biggest PC gamer. There's one that I suggest just because I love the board game version so much. I'm tempted not to buy it myself because I'd worry that it would ruin my game playing experience of the board game. I don't know of any people that play board games and digital versions of them, but sometimes I find if I play the digital version of a board game, that ruins the experience of playing the board games with other people because I'm used to it taking about a quarter of the time and not having to wait for other people's turns and all this type of stuff. Was that a bell ring?
You're going over it.
Okay. But a game called Scythe. It's a really great board game, one of my favourites, an area control type game, and they bought our version on the PC that looks like it would suck a bit of my life away from me for a great period of time. I can hold off while it's on the PC, but if it comes to consoles, I may have to dip in, basically.
I want to throw something in, but I don't know if it counts. But we've moved the goalpost so many times today, I'm just going to do it anyway. It's a 3DS game, and it's called Crimson Shroud. Okay. And it's by, I can't remember his name, but it's the guy that did Vagrant...
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, it was Jeff Bridges, who made Vagrant Story and Final Fantasy XII. But it's a dungeon adventure game, RPG, where your character is a miniature, and when you go into combat and stuff, you have dice and you use the touch screen and you roll the dice and it just plays like Dungeons and Dragons. Okay. And you do all your, so it's basically a little miniatures game in your 3DS that you can just take and play with you that's story driven.
And another couple more recent suggestions just from the Switch as well. I played through Actun Cthulhu Tactics recently, which, surprise, surprise, from what I've been saying all this week, is a turn-based strategy game, basically. But it's based on the RPG, and it's a smaller kind of indie game type thing, but very much in the style of XCOM, but with an Eldritch Horror World War II theme, which...
You can also tell that Tim doesn't speak German because he called it Actung rather than Actung.
Okay. You can criticise my German. That's fine. That's something I'll take. I never knew you were a pedant. But also one that I'm currently playing for review, and we'll probably talk about more on next week's podcast, but the game with the most generic name, and also it's one of those things where the genre sounds a bit too overdone at the moment, and I could have very much been turned off. A game called Monster Slayers. But it's just come out on Switch. It's turn-based... I don't like my turn-based, but kind of a card deck-building game, dungeon crawler with the kind of roguelike elements type thing. The dungeon crawling roguelike elements, I think, is a bit overdone at the moment, but it's just a really nicely put-together package. I believe it came out previously on other consoles and PC, but it's just come out on Switch, and I've been really enjoying it, so I recommend that one as well.
Is that all your board games? Is that all your board games now?
Right, but then we get into a weird category.
I'll introduce this
before we go in there. We get into a category of digital card and board games that didn't physically exist until they did.
No, I think you've gone over on this now.
That's a bit weird, but there's two examples I can think of this. Gwent and Hand of Fate. And they're both games that were originally a digital card game that didn't have a physical version. They weren't based on the previous physical version of the game. They were just a digital card game. But then eventually that actually came out as a physical card game in both instances.
I think me and Rick are going to mention the same thing. Triple Triad from Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And should mention, one of the prizes we've got today is actually some stuff, a game called Lords of War, which is very similar to Triple Triad, and you can't buy in the shops anymore. So it's a nice prize for what we're doing today.
Can you not
it's
buy it
a
anymore?
Rarity.
No,
I need
not
to replace
available
my
in the
ones,
shops.
Because they're all knackered now.
Well,
you're overplaying.
Have, yeah.
Mm.
You may struggle.
It's good to know.
But yeah, so yeah, that was generally it for that.
That was the shortest section I've ever known you to do.
Yeah, I could extend it a little bit.
Please don't.
There's two things I will mention, just of games that are coming up as well. I played Jetpack Joyride at UK Games Expo last year.
Bell. Hit the bell.
That's actually surprisingly good, worth looking out for, coming out from Lucky Duck Games. And also, I don't know if this is generally available to buy, but I've got a Street Fighters The Miniatures game coming from Kickstarter that I backed last year that I'm really looking forward to as well. So anyway, there's that.
Good. How are we doing for time?
We've
got like 15
We have 10 minutes.
Okay,
minutes.
Right, we're going to have to quickly run through...
Some of our best games of Rez so far, basically.
I want some Rez highlights. I'm going to throw out one. I have to put the name because it's quite a difficult one for me to remember. I know it begins with an E.
Well, no surprise that I've been checking out games like Phoenix Point.
What's it about?
Typing.
That's not the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, I... checked out Phoenix Point as well. That was a good one. I checked out Dreadlands as a turn-based strategy game as well.
I'm noticing a theme. Huh? I'm noticing a theme.
Slight theme with me this year.
So, Nanotale Typing Chronicles, that was a game I played yesterday.
That doesn't begin with an E.
It was an N. Yeah, you have a character, you've got to explore this environment, and you're kind of out there to research trees and herbs and things, but also there's enemies out there, and the items you have to interact with will pop up a word, kind of like Typing of the Dead, but more whimsical and friendly and no zombies. And the harder the enemy, the larger the word you're typing out, and there's spells and things you have to cast as well, and you have to type them all in. Very enjoyable.
Spells.
I enjoyed that. Anyone who's got a big highlight for EGX Rezzed 2019?
I've got a couple.
Go on then.
I've got a couple. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
I didn't like the movement.
Ooh.
I did. It reminded me enough of old Castlevania. It was basically just Castlevania, but you can dress your character up. I put a pirate hat on her.
When you talked to me about this, you called it Bloodstained Symphony of the Night.
I did.
Clearly, there's enough of a comparison there.
Yeah, I had to write it down, what it was actually called, because I have been calling it Bloodstained Symphony of the Night. And you'll forgive me for that. There's also Gatto Roboto, which is awesome. It's available over there. And it's a black and white 8-bit Metroidvania where you play as a cat who's in a mech. And you can jump out the mech and do cat things, like climb up walls and swim, because cats do that, apparently. And then you get in a robot and just wreak havoc. It's awesome. It's so good.
Big shout out to Octopad, which is 8 Nintendo Entertainment System controllers plugged into the Player One Switch. Mm-hmm. And then 8 people have to control 1 button of each controller, because it is just a single button put out. And we were playing Mario yesterday with just 2 of us.
I want to do it.
Grabbing like 4 controllers. Yes.
I want to do a Dark Souls playthrough like that.
Yeah, you can do it. It probably exists online already.
Did anyone check out Rad by Double Fine? I had a quick look at that. No? Not normally my type of game. It's not a turn-based strategy, for one. But I went and had a look, and it was the one that was announced recently on the Nindies direct
the
that they
fact
had.
That that's the one game that I don't remember from that really? Nindies direct. Glazed over.
It's set in a post-apocalyptic setting. They've had 2 apocalypses, so how this person survived, I don't know. But basically, you get like mutations and different kind of mutations that happen to your actual character. In one of them, I had like a massive spike that was going through me, and I could grow that spike to attack nearby enemies. And
such
then it
as
would
life.
Grow back afterwards. Yeah. And another one, it was completely different. Like my head changed to a giant snake, and I could use that to attack other enemies and stuff like that. But one of the things I really liked about it is whenever you're wandering around in the environment, you're changing this post-apocalyptic wasteland into a kind of green, and like you're kind of bringing life back to the environment.
So it's like a Kami with mutants.
But it kind of it follows your trail, and so you know where you've been in the environment because you can see that nice green trail wherever you've been, kind of thing. So I found it interesting. It was more interesting than I thought it was going to be for my type of game, basically.
Right, I want to do quick fire.
Yep.
I need a game of the show. Ready? Go.
Midi the Cat.
There you go. Midi the Cat, yes, that is brilliant. You control a cat platformer with a MIDI keyboard.
Sold.
Katana Zero was pretty good.
Okay. Was that the VHS styly? Yeah, I like that one as well.
Really good soundtrack.
That is really, really good.
Change. Yes, The Homeless Survival Story.
Was that The Homeless Simulator, basically?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
That sounds more depressing than the first 10 minutes of Up.
I have to skip this one because he works for a publisher.
American Ethics. Fugitive.
American Fugitive. No more on that?
Oh.
Go on, have a camel ball. Go on, have a camel ball. They're tasty.
Push it on him, push it on him.
Don't force camel balls on people. We said we wouldn't do that, Coleman.
I've enjoyed Borderlands Game of the Year Edition.
Borderlands Game of the Year Edition. That is definitely a Borderlands-ass Borderlands game.
It's very shiny.
Very shiny.
T-shirts on brand.
I think it was called My Friend Pedro, the ultraviolet.
Yes. Ooh, I definitely want to play that.
That was on my list.
Ooh, yeah, that's still on my list. But that's good, that's good to hear.
It's kind of a gun-fu type game where your missions are dictated to you via a talking banana. You How can could also you not want to time. Play that? Also, I need to pick it up on the Switch.
And there's a skateboard.
Game called Guntastic. It's a four-player shoot-em-up game. It's played over like a 20-second period and first to 10 wins. It's a really good room. It's in the Unreal room.
That's the four-player thing, battle thing, isn't it?
Yes. It's in the alpha build at the moment, so they're hoping for a release on Steam this summer.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we had a try on that yesterday. No.
Primetime Detective.
Primetime Detective? I didn't check that one out.
So you're investigating a crime, but your life is your TV ratings. You're a detective on a TV show.
That sounds... How did I not hear about this? That sounds amazing. Okay. I'm going to go check that out. Game of the show, sir?
Luna the Shadow Dust. It's like a point-and-click puzzle game, and it's all hand-animated.
Okay. I do like a point-and-click.
Sounds interesting.
I have played many a point-and-click. They are my favourite genre that don't really happen anymore.
I'm also going to go with American Fugitive. I enjoyed that a lot.
Excellent. Yeah. What's American Fugitive for those that haven't seen it?
It's GTA classic, but brought to new life.
Yeah. Cool. The old GTA with almost a top-down view, but newer graphics and a very small development team with Pitt have done a very good job.
Awesome.
So,
game of the show?
I haven't played enough to
say my friend Pedro.
I'll say Cat Quest 2.
All right, I did play Cat Quest 2.
It was freaking adorable.
I haven't played Cat Quest 1 before, and that's actually made me want to go out and pick that up as well. There's also a Sword of Ditto expansion that I have seen Swords of Ditto and never got to it.
There's a Ditto expansion, you say?
Yeah.
Myself and Coleman played it earlier, and it was weird because it didn't to play the first one. Anything.
Game of show, sir.
Heaven's Vault.
Ooh.
Yeah. Though I might be biased as I did the testing for it. But it's like a game where you're an archaeologist and you need to uncover ruins while deciphering an ancient language.
How does it play? Because I've seen the trailers for it and it looks absolutely stunning, but it doesn't give any kind of gameplay away.
It's third-person camera. You walk around environments while talking with people or examining objects. And if you find something from the old language, you are shown it in that old language and you're giving some options to guess what could that mean. And depending on what meaning you give to that word, that's how it might change the story a bit, because you might misinterpret something and then it messes everything up, or you might interpret it right and then it's like, and then you progress better, stuff like that.
Sounds nice. Really cool.
Plus some really nice flying around between planets.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Purely because I haven't mentioned the game of the show yet, but I do want to mention it. It's actually right next door to us in the ID Xbox section. It's called Aetherborn. Okay. There's only one stand of it. It's from Altered Matter. And it is... So, it's beautiful. The music is stunning. And you're moving through this world, and you have this kind of narrator telling you this history of the world that seems to have happened, and you're trying to piece together what's happening. As you progress through the game, you get to various like nodes, and in those nodes then you go into a new world, and it's basically a 3D world that if you run over a kind of a curve, so if you imagine a cube but one edge of the cube is curved, when you run over it, the gravity or the center of gravity changes, so it's perpendicular to wherever you run. But if you run off an edge, because you haven't gone over a curve and kind of changed the center of gravity stays the same on the edge. It's really difficult to explain, actually. But it's basically a 3D platformer, but all of the action takes place on one kind of intricate cube, not a cube, but it's one geometric shape. But you could spend, like I was spending 20 minutes on levels and trying to collect all of these different things and trying to work out how you get to various things, and you have to really think about it, and it just captivated me while I was sitting there.
That sounds like a lot of hard work.
It is. I was sweating after it, but I sweat sitting down. So that's
Is that harder to play or explain?
It's hard to play. It's hard to explain. It's hard in multiple levels.
Right, we've got another suggestion for a game of the show.
Cool.
this one I picked up in the indie room earlier on, actually. Brendan, I've only played one game this weekend, so it might be awful, so I've got nothing to compare it to. But no, I really enjoyed it. So Keep Him Off Your Streets, it's based around 1942, I guess, when the Nazis come to power, and it's just about a small group of rebels in Germany trying to revolt up and do their own thing. They never mentioned Hitler, but
I heard really good things about
the esteem leader at the time, sort of thing. Okay. So whatever.
Yeah, I heard really good things about that one.
Yeah, sorry. I've been giving out Camel Balls for suggestions. So yeah, if you are here and you haven't played any of these games mentioned, then go check them out. If you're listening at home, then Google, I'm guessing, is the best way to check these games out if you're not aware of them. But also, my friend Pedro, go play that.
I also haven't mentioned my game in the show. I'm going to very quickly sneak in, and it's a bit of a cheat, but the one I've actually had the most fun with and most looking forward to, I think, apart from the SteamWorld quest that I mentioned before, which probably would take that for
Don't say Gang Beasts.
No, I'm going to actually say, and this is a surprise, but it's a remastered game, which we haven't talked too much about, so I will sneak it in. But Castle Crashers Remastered. It's a game I really like the look of and didn't play enough of when it first came out. I'm really looking forward to possibly actually playing enough of that game this time around, kind of thing. So I really enjoyed, we played that four player and I had good fun doing it. So I'm hopeful that we'll play more of that going forward. Also, just very quickly, there's a studio I want to give a mention to. They're a new studio. They've got four games they're showing here. They're all games that are like under a tenner, all coming to Switch. I think they're all on Steam and PS4 and possibly Xbox One as well. But it's a studio called Pocket Money Games. They're downstairs. They've got four very different games. One's an endless runner. One's a kind of collect 'em up. One's a kind of first-person shooter. But, yeah, worth just checking out. They're a bit different. They're a bit new, so give them a shout-out and go and have a look at them if you're here, or just generally if you're listening to the show, go and check out their studio and see if you like the look of what they're doing.
Cool. Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up because I think we've gone over on time. Surprise. About 80% on board games. So, I don't think we got any closer to finding out what the games are of this generation, but we've given it a damn good go, and we've all had our oar to stick in there somewhere along Bloodborne. The lines. Go on, what are you going to say?
Bloodborne.
Sorry, yeah, Bloodborne's the winner. There you go. So we're going to wrap things up. After we're done with the show, if you've won a prize, come up. If you don't want a prize, come up. We've got loads to give away, and we haven't quite done our job while we're doing this show.
Yeah, we had plans, but we don't want to slow the things down too much while
we're
actually doing
it. We're all excellent hosts.
I just dropped Zelda Monopoly there.
Zelda Monopoly just fell over.
But I love the fact
half price.
But yeah. I love the fact as well that people who have won prizes have left without their prizes.
Because during the tabletop section.
Like, you win a prize and you're gone.
More prizes for the people that are left. That's fine.
We have other things. Usually I pass over to Tim, but I'm going to run through because he's done enough talking today, to be honest. Each and every Tuesday in London, we do a show called Tabletop Tuesday, which is at the London Loden Bar in Londinium. Like I say, every Tuesday, that's where we have a featured game each week. You can come down, absolutely free to get in, but please pay for the drinks that you're drinking because they don't like if you go behind the bar and help yourself. We're going to have a big Potato Games takeover this week. It's the fan faves, Bucket of Doom, Game of Prones, Twin It, and Weird Things. And there's going to be a bunch of prizes given out as well. What happens is you
just
can go
throw
and play.
It.
Sorry?
Just throw it.
Oh, yeah. Just throw a potato out. Hey!
Someone can take their potato home.
If you come down, you can play the featured game for yourself, and then if you play the featured game, you get you get put into a raffle where you can win the featured game to take home. But as well, it gets kept in the bar and a second copy for you to come back and play any time you want, like I said. Also, thank you very much, EJX Res, for having us out, particularly Tom Champion, for allowing us to do this. He's a super nice man, and every time Tim speaks to him, he goes a little bit greyer, because a session talking to Tim, as you may have guessed, takes about 45 minutes.
Also, just thanks to the staff manning this room for us. Thank you very much for your help and for recording and making this life a bit
literally
easier for us.
Literally couldn't have done it without you.
Yep.
It's nice.
Quite literally.
Usually, I organise the shows and then I edit the shows. And for this show, Tim's organised it all. These guys have done all the recording. I ain't got to do nothing. I just got to slap a theme on it, send it out.
Also, I haven't had to lug all your audio equipment here and the mixer and everything else that goes with it.
Too much audio equipment.
Thank you very much, everyone. Made our lives a lot easier. But also, a big thank you for everyone that actually came to the show.
Yeah, we usually do social media shout-outs, but today the shout-outs are you.
Yeah. The people that are here. Thank you very much, one and all. We will try and furnish you all with prizes So come forward and get some prizes. We have, I've just given a prize to everyone here, but we've also got some more prizes to give out as well. So come forward and we will reward you in kind for being kind enough to come see us. So thank you very much.
Okay, so the one last thing to say. This has been episode 337 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast. I have been Coleman.
I might have been Tim.
I've been Rick, I think.
I've been Dermot.
And until next time, dear listeners, a goodbye.
Thank you.
You and your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.